Hello, Kayla.
Hello, Megan.
And for our listeners, welcome back. We're going into part two of our Root Center episode today.
Part two, Root episode. Ah, I'm so loving these panels.
Yes.
I cannot wait to get more of them out to you. Root Center, man. So check out your chart. Make sure you know whether you have a defined or undefined root center. So if it's defined, it's colored in. If it's undefined, it is white. The root center is the square all the way down at the very bottom of the chart. And just for as a reminder, if you have an undefined root, you will be identifying with Megan and Jess in this episode. And if you have a defined root, you will probably be identifying with myself and with Alyssa in this episode. So we're going to dive even deeper, get into some gates, get into the nitty gritty. I'm excited. Hi, I'm Kayla Mason.
And I'm Megan Smith.
And this is Human Design in Real Time. I'm the founder and CEO of Kayla Care. And as an intuitive human design coach, I use human design to help you get to the root of what's holding you back from living the life you actually want to be living.
Human design is a map of your energetic DNA that uses a combination of ancient systems and modern science to help you understand how your energy shows up in the world.
On this podcast, we'll be talking with people from all walks of life about how their human design affects their lives and the lives of those around them.
To download a PDF of your own human design chart, all you need is your exact birth time, and you can go to kayla-care.com to download your own copy.
So let's get started.
So let's get a little deeper into the root center. The root has 9 gates. That's a lot of gates for one center to have. So there's a lot of energy coming out of the root center, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit. But Kayla, can you give us a little bit more of a deeper dive on some of the gates in the root center?
Yeah, absolutely. So before I dive into it, I'll kind of give you a little bit about what gates are. We haven't talked about them too much on this podcast, but if you look at your human design chart and look at all of those little tiny circles, every single one of those is what we call a gate in human design. And each one of them represents a certain kind of energy. And the way that these happen, it's not like I have this gate, so this is part of my personality. It's more that you have the ability to experience this energy more intensely than others do. And you get to choose where on the spectrum of vibration you experience it. So if, for example, you have the gate of opposition, the gate of the fighter, gate 38, the one that we were talking about earlier, the high vibration of that gate would be to be able to understand what's worth fighting for and knowing what you have to do to fight for it, having that vision. The low vibration is fighting just to fight, having that fight energy and not knowing what to do with it and just fighting because fighting. So every single one of the gates in the chart has a different kind of energy that you can live in the high or low vibration of. And this is something that, like, through time, you might move from a low to a high vibration. Also, sometimes you'd be triggered by something and it can immediately shove you into a low vibration. It's also something that can go up and down constantly. So there's never a moment where you are doing it wrong with any gate. So the gates in the root center, we talked them through, Megan and I, and realized that they kind of break down into like 3 different concept pillars. So all of the gates on the left side of the root center, so the ones that lead into the spleen, these are the gate of joy, gate 58, gate 38, the gate of the fighter, and gate 54, which is the gate of ambition or drive. These are all kind of based on that drive energy. These are all kinds of the things that get you to do the things that are the thing that drives you, joy, ambition, having a vision, knowing what to fight for. Then we have on the top, leading into the sacral center, we have gate 53, which is the gate of starting things, gate 60, which is the gate of acceptance, and gate 52, which is the gate of stillness. And these are like the meditation gates. These are that kind of grounding energy, that meditative energy, finding stillness, finding acceptance, surrender, and getting ready to begin. Planting seeds. You know, when we talk about new beginnings, we're looking at the new moon. We're looking at the getting ready to begin. This is the stillness before we start. Then when we look at the right side of the root center, so this is leading into the emotions, we have gate 19, which is the gate of wanting, gate 39, which is the gate of provocation, and gate 41, which is the gate of imagination. And we're looking at these kind of like the catalysts. These are the things that kind of spark your interest, spark you to get up and go do the thing, wanting something, being provoked into accomplishing something, and having that fantasy moment, having that imagination, having that vision that gets you excited to do the thing. So these three, we're calling them the three pillars of the root center, are drive, meditativeness, and catalyst, the catalyst energy. So yeah, and we kind of wanted to dive into each of those a little bit more deeply.
Yeah. Thank you, Kayla.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's start with that meditative grounding energy that the root center brings. What has been your experience with these gates? And just a reminder, these gates are of new beginnings, gate 53, limitation and acceptance in 60, and stillness and perspective in 52.
So I have two of those gates. I have the gate of starting things. Does anybody else have that?
No.
Beginnings?
No, it's okay. Just you. Talk
All
on
right,
it,
well,
girl.
I can. Yeah, so this is the energy, you know, to get the start to do things. And I feel this so hard. Like, I will get, like, motivated to start books, cooking projects, even work projects. And then when it gets to the middle and the end, that's when I'm like, ugh. Like, I don't have the same, like, drive or motivation to do that. But I'm very good at, like, planting the seeds and even, like, having the vision, right? Like, ooh, this is what I want to create. Let's go start this thing. So I've learned to work with it. Like, I will start dinner. I will do the food prep. And then I'll say, here, Andrew, you cook, you know, or like I'll partner with an event on somebody and I will make all the marketing materials and things like that. And then I'll be like, okay, you go get the supplies.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the day before. That's, I've just learned how to work with it and know that and not beat myself up when I don't finish a book, for example. Usually, like, and then also, right, like, I chose my design. I meant to start things, maybe not necessarily finish things. Maybe I meant to start this book and get the piece of wisdom that I need in the first four chapters. Mm-hmm. And then I'm good.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. Oh, that's so real. Yeah. And like, I don't have the gate of starting things, but I think that this energy is something that shows up in a lot of different places in the chart, that mm-hmm. like starting things and not finishing them. And that's something I've also had to do a lot of work on. One thing that I want to say, though, for these three gates, I don't have any of them defined, but I have a defined root center. And I'm realizing I wasn't able, because I at this point am a meditation teacher. Like, I guide meditations, I write meditations, I channel meditations in the moment for other people. I meditate on a daily basis myself, at least twice every day. But getting into meditation was really, really hard for me. And it's not like I wasn't exposed to it. My father was Tibetan Buddhist. And he taught us mantras and meditations when I was a kid. Like, I was learning Om Mani Padme Hum to help me go to sleep every night when I was like 5 years old. So like, I was taught meditation from a very early place. But I think because the way that he learned meditation was still the mind, stilling my mind was way too hard. And I'm looking at this now, and yes, I have that defined root, but I don't have any of these meditative gates. So the energy in my root center tends to be a little bit more frenetic. It tends to be a little more intense, less still. And it wasn't until I found yoga nidra, which is the main kind of meditation that I utilize for myself and my clients, and the one that I write most often, where there is a guide the entire time. So from the beginning of the meditation until the very end of the 45-minute meditation, where you are doing a deep dive into your subconscious, there is a voice. And that voice is giving you guidance the entire time, and you're lying down. So there's no like fidgeting. I'm a big fidgeter. I cannot stay still for the life of me. I would always end up, my back would hurt and this would hurt and that would hurt. Whereas if I'm lying down, I can fully relax. So it wasn't until I found a meditation modality that forced me into a grounded place where all I have to do is follow guidance, that I was actually able to find stillness, that I was actually able to find this acceptance and this surrender, you know? So I'm seeing this. It's very interesting because one of the things that I mentioned when we were writing down these questions is the idea that, do we feel a sense of lack in the gates that we don't have in our charts? Like, is there a part of us that deals with that, like, almost imposter syndrome when we don't create a certain gate, like when we don't have a certain gate and we don't create that energy? And I think a lot of times that can happen, especially when you're around somebody else who does have that gate. And as we were just talking before, I just looked, my father has the gate of stillness.
Yeah, for sure. The gate of stillness. Yeah, I don't have that one. And I resonate with that too. Yeah. Like, oh, why can't I just be more like calm? Yeah.
Actually, none of us here have the gate of stillness. That's actually one where we all collectively do not have that. And I'm also a huge fidgeter, and I have a hard time sitting still. But if I have a guided meditation, whether that be yoga nidra or just any other guided meditation, I can find the stillness, but I think that might be because I'm picking up on that energy rather than creating it myself.
Mm.
I feel that as well. It's funny though, over the last few years, and I have the Gate 60 acceptance, I've had to reframe what it means to slow down and to not fidget as much. And I think all of the years of practicing yoga taught me that, of like surrendering to it. And it's gotten even deeper and deeper, but it goes in and out, right? Sometimes I find moments where I'm like, okay, and I've practiced a lot of different modalities in terms of meditation. So sometimes I have to ping pong around to figure out which one is going to work for me. Like for a while, Kayla and I first met doing Kundalini, and like that was really great for me because you're moving and chanting. And so like you are meditating in a sense, but you're physically still doing something.
Yeah.
But then I'm also with you, Kayla, on the, I have to practice yoga nidras a lot where I'm like lying down and it's like forcing me to like really let go and find that meditative state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find that it's hard to sit up and do meditations?
I mean, it depends. So I've done like a lot of different modalities, like I said, and there was this one I did that was third eye meditations. There's this man named Samuel Saigon that created it. And like when I went and did a 10-day course of it, it was so intense that I feel like after that, I'm like, I can sit up for a long time because I think I had to practice it for like 10 days straight where you were sitting up for like 30 minutes to an hour, maybe longer. But I think it's my mood of the day too, because sometimes I try to sit down and meditate and I'm like, this ain't happening today. Or like, yeah. I can do like a minute or something and I'm like, okay, that's it. Or then other times I can really like sit in it.
Yeah. Interesting.
I find I have to sit up. Otherwise I fall asleep, which is actually a great way to fall asleep. I will go to bed and I will start meditating and boom, yeah. I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good night.
I was just going to say, like, the falling asleep, sometimes I use the yoga nidras as a way to still myself before maybe I have to, because I do a lot of different things in my life being a manifesting generator. And sometimes, say I've been up all day doing all these things for like coaching or teaching yoga or doing acting stuff, and then I still have to go bartend in the evening, I will have to do a yoga nidra to take a little power nap to like reset myself to then go and do that next thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I ask because I find it really difficult to sit and meditate. I find it much easier to meditate when I'm lying down. And yes, I do fall asleep sometimes, but that mm-hmm. might just be what my body needs. And yeah. then there are times when I don't, and I'm present for the whole thing and it feels mm-hmm. really good. And I'm able to get back up and go and do other things. It's like kind of clearing out everything for me. But I do find it harder to meditate when I'm sitting up. I find myself fidgeting a lot more and getting uncomfortable and moving around. And that might also be because I have an undefined root center and an undefined crown and head. So like the pressure centers are kind of going like that, like squishing my whole body. And my body's like, no, I don't want to be squished. I want to lie down. Yeah. But yeah, I find that interesting.
I love that idea of like for a manifesting generator with an open root, like taking those yoga nidra breaks between activities just to clear everything out. Like that is so smart.
Yeah.
I literally have to, because sometimes I feel so overstimulated from the day and I'm like, okay, but I have to go into this next thing. And sometimes I'll do the yoga nidra. And to be honest, I do the to be magnetic ones where depending on the one you pick, it could be, guiding you through certain topics. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times I pick the health one where it's just like, it kind of like talks about your health. And I'm like, yes, I'm doing this for my health right now. Like,
yeah.
I'm just lying yeah. here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the next energy?
Let's do it.
All right. So the second energy we wanted to discuss is that catalyst, that creative catalyst energy that we get from gate 19, the gate of approach and wanting, gate 39, the gate of provocation, and gate 41, the gate of imagination. So how do these show up for everyone?
I'll dive in here because I have gate 41 in my chart. And I think it looks like Jess, you also have gate 41, but I have the whole channel, the 4130. And this energy is so big and so visionary. And like, I have these like big, this is also called the gate of fantasy. I have these like big dreams. And like, I see the world in such a like overarching kind of fantastical way, so much so that all the people close to me know that I often just kind of live in a different reality than the rest of the people. There's like this part of me that believes that time is different than it actually is and believes that physical space is different than it actually is. And I have these lofty expectations of the way the world could be, the way the world can be. And in some ways, it's beautiful. And like, it really is this catalyst energy. It's really this energy of like, I have so much vision for how I want to change the world. But it can also really disconnect me from reality. And like, I think it's so interesting that this is in the root center, because it is by definition part of like this grounding root energy. It should be connecting me deeper to what it means to be human. But when you're dealing with two ends of a spectrum, sometimes the other end of that spectrum is the exact opposite. And I can get really heady and really lofty and, you know, really need someone to help bring me back down to earth, which I think is why it's really nice that my partner has that undefined root, because he takes that in and amplifies it and I hear it back. I'm like, oh, yeah, that doesn't actually make sense in the world. So I do often need undefined rooters to call me out on when things don't actually make sense.
I resonate with that so much.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I started incorporating a lot of plant medicine into my life and my practices. And I feel like it makes me go even further with all of that. And I'm like, whoa, but all these things I saw and like how right? the world worked. And like, and then I'm like, and I saw it. Like I understand now. And like,
yeah.
But then my partner, he has all three of the gates on that side.
Oh, wow.
So, and then sometimes he's like, huh? Come back down to earth.
Yeah.
You're up in space right now. But he's also undefined root sitter, but maybe because the rest of those gates are all defined. But I too find that I, or it's like I'll just start to envision the way something is, and my mind will just like kind of wander and like create this whole thing that I'm like, whoa. It's interesting.
I love cool. this energy. I don't have it, but I love seeing it in other people because you are so imaginative and like you're the creators of like brand newness, right? And yeah, you'll have people say, come back down to earth, right? Mm-hmm. But like we need you to move forward. Mm-hmm. We do. Like my dad, this is his Sungate, and he started his own company because he didn't like the way things were in his major corporation, right? And he like had this vision of how things should be done. Mm. And he went and he started that. And like, you know, people could be like, wake up, Lou, like you're crazy. Don't do this. You know, but he had that vision and he went for it. He used that energy in his root to do that. And I see the two of you doing that too in your own ways, like with your own businesses as well. So like, yeah, like it's helpful to have somebody to bring you back down to earth, but you know, you're meant to be in space too. Mm-hmm. So like in having that dreamer energy.
Floating about.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah. And it's interesting because I really love working with you on things, Jess, because I do feel like when we match up on, and like we've experienced this both ways, actually. There have been times when we totally match up on what we want and what we are, like our vision. And then there have been times where our visions are very different and we're kind of like trying to, we just had a meeting recently where
we thought they were the same.
Yeah. We're planning a course right now, and Jess had a very specific idea for what she thought the course was going to look like, and I also had an idea for what I thought the course was going to look like, and we thought we were on the same page, and then we started talking through like these little nitty-gritty parts, and it turned out that I had no idea. Like, I just did not understand the vision that she had, and once she was able to share that vision, and we were able to I actually very, very much wanted, like, the vision that she had created was what I wanted to do. And I was afraid that it was going to be this other thing that I had envisioned. So, like, sometimes it is important to, like, figure out how to get on that same page. But I also, I kind of love, because you have that undefined root, Jess, you are amplifying my energy. So I feel like there is something really beautiful about us being able to work together and both having that gate and being able to use that fantasy and that imagination to create this big vision together, since we're kind of getting to put that energy back and forth to each other.
I'd have to agree. Yeah. And then, I mean, your grounded root energy really helps me, like, guides the energy then to like, we have all these visions. Okay, now let's do this and that. The managerial side of we have to get this done.
That's real.
Yeah. And it's funny because you are the one who does that. Like, you're the one who actually brings that managerial energy, but without my root, without the energy to like get up and do it, that's what gives you the catalyst to create the list of things that we have to do so that I know what to do next. Because I never
I would do the same thing for you when we work together. Like, you would have these grand ideas, and I'm like, okay, so to get there, we need to start over here, and then here are the steps that we need to take to get there. So I'm on board, but we need to take a step back.
It's like, first go to A, the B, then we can get to C.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot more steps in between before we get to Z.
Yeah, exactly. Another gate that I want us to talk about while we're on this side is gate 39, because we discovered it's another gate that none of us have in our charts. Mm-hmm. So gate 39 is the gate of provocation. Essentially that's provoking. This is another catalyst concept, and provoking can happen in a high vibration or a low vibration. So we looked in to see if any of the people in our lives had this gate so that we could see if we were absorbing this energy from anyone. And it turns out that myself, Megan, and Jess, our significant others, all have gate 39.
Yep.
So I'd love to talk a little bit about how that shows up in your relationships.
So ironic.
Right.
Well, I'd say for me, it's funny. I found this article of this woman who wrote about it because her husband has it. And then she has the 5720, which I also have. And like everything she was writing, I was like, uh-huh. Like he helps give me more direction on things, or like makes me start to like I'll have an idea for something and he'll be like, okay, that's great. But like he'll start kind of trying to get my wheels turning on, well, how is that really going to work? Or more like devil's advocate kind of energy. It's never like in my face. It's more like he's always trying to give me, trying to provoke me in a way, but is not as triggering, I'll say, which is nice. Even though I feel like there are, now that I think back though, I'm like, there are moments though that I definitely feel like I'm like, can't you just like be on my, you know, be in my vision instead of like trying to make it better. Like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because my partner also has it, and he also has an undefined root. And most of the time, the provocation is not something that is like negative. Like it doesn't feel low vibration. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it just kind of feels like he just does something. Sometimes it doesn't even feel conscious. Like he'll do something that will then provoke me to make mm-hmm. a change, or to think about something, or to start a conversation, whatever it is. But then there are times when I don't think it's deliberate, but it's definitely mm-hmm. triggering. Mm-hmm. And like mm-hmm. he'll say something that like really provokes me. And like, you know, we've had to, there's a lot of you're too sensitive that we have to catch on, because, you know, I think that part of what he enjoys is kind of like poke and see what happens. Poke it and see what happens. And I think that's part of that provocation energy mm-hmm. is like, what happens if I poke this thing? And so I'm an emotional being and I'm sitting here like, okay, well, if you poke me too much, then it's going to hurt. You know?
I wanted to add to that. It's funny that you're saying this, because I find that also happens with me, but I have such a curiosity for things that I'll be like, huh, why did that trigger me, or why did that upset me? And then like mm-hmm. I'll like kind of go digging, which has been really helpful in my relationship, because then it's helped me see a lot of my blind spots or blocks or areas that I've maybe didn't quite see, or him poking me helps me then kind of go in and do some deeper work on some areas that I just overlooked, or maybe I constantly got triggered but never took the time to like really like figure it out.
Yeah. And like that, I feel like that's the next level, you know, like that's something that I do all the time now, but it's something that I've had to do a lot of work to get to the place where I am. And I know you're a non-emotional, but with a defined emotional center, especially, like it can be really, really hard for me to take a bird's eye view when one of my emotions gets triggered. And like now, you know, PJ and I have gotten to a point where if I get triggered by something, he'll just kind of like let me deal with it. Like he'll just kind of let me sit there and like let me like tucker myself out. And like I do the same thing for him when something triggers him, or if he's having like a big anxiety day or something, I'll just kind of like let him tucker himself out and then we can talk about it later. Because most of the time I will get myself back to understanding like, ah, okay, this is why that triggered me. What's underneath this? How can I help heal myself? But that's a really hard place to get to. And it definitely takes a lot of inner work.
Practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Practice too.
Yeah. They're like, when Alec is very subtle. About his provoking, unless he's actually trying to get a rise out of me, in which case he does poke me occasionally. And I'm like, literally, like physically is like, and I'm like, stop, stop right now. but when he does, it's always so subtle. and I get frustrated and I get angry. Like the second that he does something or says something to set me off, I'm just like, why would you say that? Why would you do this? And then I have to like take a step back and go away and get away from him and be like, okay, yeah, all right, he was right, I get it. And then I come out and I'm like, I'm sorry. I got mad. It's just, it's so frustrating, but it's like, oh, you're doing this because you can, and you have it. You have that. You have the gate of provocation and you can. So why not? Right. He's a love him. Love him to death.
Right.
Yeah. Well, my son has the gate of provocation. He's 4. And it's like, it's almost annoying, that energy.
Yes.
But it's, know, he doesn't. And I'm like, he has the gate of provocation. Yeah. But it's interesting that they are designed that way, though, to help us all become better.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. To point out, like, okay, why am I impatient right now? What, he just wants love and attention. Right. So it's like this provoking is making me like, wait, I think, Jess, you were saying, like, it motivates you to work on yourself more and be like, oh, where am I in the wrong here? And that's the whole energy of that gate. It's like inherent in them. They can't help it but provoke you. But it's to make you better.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's why it's there. That's why we keep them around, too, whether we like it or not. We keep them around for that. Ah, yes, you are making me better. Damn it.
Because we're growing together. Yeah. Like it's helping us to not just, I think that's where relationships go to die is when you're not growing together anymore. And as long as you keep growing together, you continue to thrive. And that energy is a really good catalyst for growth.
Yeah.
I have the gate of wanting on the right side of my root center. And this is the energy to be able to sense what people are wanting and needing. And so this makes me inherently very sensitive, right? Kayla, you were talking about being too sensitive before. And this gate is all about sensitivity, and it can be like sensitivity to just a shift in the mood, right? Yeah. Shift in the energy, or it might even be sensitivity to like textures on your skin, right? Or maybe you have a really strong sense of taste. But when it comes to like being able to sense what people are wanting and needing, this has probably been my biggest learning in my root center, because it's like I sense what people need or want. Maybe they need more sleep, or maybe they need dinner, and I'm like, oh, I have to make them dinner. Like I have to take care of the baby while he naps. Right. And like totally like disregarding my own needs. Right. I'm tired too.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, but he needs this. So I gotta go do it. I gotta go take care of the baby now. And I think that's the hardest. It's learning how to juggle your own needs and wants versus the people you're around.
Do you find that when you are feeling aligned, that you can also feel into your own wants through that?
Especially now, the more work I do on myself, like I know, like I will still let Andrew sleep and take the baby and know I need sleep. Like I know it, but it's still like really hard to just do it, because I feel like I'm better when I am like running low on sleep than when Andrew is. So I'm going to take the fall. Like that sort of thing. But that being said, over time, I have become much more aware of my needs and my wants. And for a while, I was living alone with my son, Max, half the time. Right. And that was the easiest time for me, because I really got to focus on my own needs and my wants and get really in tune with that. Where previously, like my life had always been with a partner, like as a serial monogamist, you know, like it was time I had for myself to really pay attention to what I was needing and wanting in myself. Yes. I recommend that. I recommend that for maybe anyone with an open self-center in gate 19. go take time for yourself.
Go take time for yourself. I think that's advice we should give to everyone.
Yes.
Go take time for yourself.
Like everybody. No matter what your human design looks like, go take time for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, they're all over the chart, right? Yeah. Like the high expression is like taking time to recharge and be alone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's like 12 gates that basically are like, that's the high expression.
Right. Yeah. 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 So, and then a couple profile lines and then, you know, just like defined, undefined. Like,
Well, our last pillar of the root center is drive, right? So these come from the gates of ambition, gate 54, The Fighter, gate 38, and Joy, gate 58. So how do we all connect to these? So also on this side, this is the side going towards the spleen. We all share two of these gates, gate 38, the Fighter, and 58, joy of vitality. So discuss.
Yeah, I'm really curious to hear about these, like, because now we're getting the defined versus undefined discussion here. So I'll cut in with defined, my experience of joy and the Fighter. And I think, so for me, joy is something that I think is innately a part of who I am. And this is something that I found with my other root gates as well. There are things that I can try to do. And then there are things that are just innately part of who I am. And like, when we're talking about the concept of fantasy and like imagination, I'm not someone who comes up with big fantasy worlds where there are, you know, dragons and princesses and this and that and blah, blah, blah. That's not where fantasy comes in for me. It's just part of who I am at my core. Everything that exists in my world comes from a place of my own fantasy, my own reality. It's the same thing with joy. And I've been really thinking about it recently because I was trying to call in more joy for this year. I was like, this year, my word is joy. And it just, there was so much pressure in joy. And like this idea of feeling joy and being joyous. And what I've realized is that joy is something that I just innately am. It is something that I innately experience. It's not something that like, when I go skiing, I feel joy. No, if I go skiing, I actually don't even like skiing, but if I...
Great example.
Maybe another activity. If I go mini golfing, mini golfing. So fun. But if I go mini golfing and I am not in a good place at that moment, it doesn't matter how much mini golfing I do. If I'm exhausted, if I feel like crap, if my body is not responding in the way that makes me feel, like, I'm not going to feel joy. Whereas if I am in a place of joy, I can feel joyous just sitting and doing absolutely nothing. So for me, like having this energy in a defined center, it's like it's part of who I am. It's not really something that I do. And it's similar for me, that gate of the Fighter, which is knowing what's worth fighting for. It's part of, it's like, it's deep in my bones, you know? It's not something that I, earlier we were talking about how Megan would come and fight on my behalf. That's not how I feel that energy. Mm. It's just a part of my being. So that's my defined experience of these gates.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear you talk about that. So I know this gate is the gate of vitality instead of joy, and it's the energy to make life the best it can be. And I feel that, like, I feel the pressure, like I always want to make life as wonderful as possible. I do a lot of, like, I'm a theta healer, I do a lot of belief work constantly, right, to make my life better. And I'm not going to stop, never going to stop doing that. But you said, Kayla, like, sometimes you need to rest and find joy in rest, right? And sometimes making life the best it can be is slowing down.
Yeah.
And just letting yourself be, which is, this gate is all about, or the center is all about being, like you said, Kayla.
Yeah. 100%.
It's interesting to hear the defined perspective and like that struggling to be like, I need to find the joy. I feel, at least as an undefined root, that joy just is, and I am in joy.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter what the situation is, but there is joy. And if I'm in a place to feel it, I will feel it and I will go and enjoy it. Or feel the vitality of wanting to be in joy. it just is. And I feel like, yes, that it's a part of me and that I have joy and joy is where I go, but it's also a matter of being in the joy when it shows up in the world, right? And feeling like being here is good. Being here is nice. Being here is joyful, at least from the undefined perspective.
I know. I'll have to – I agree with you, Megan. I think, too, I've done a lot of work around being present in the joy recently over the last few years. And, like, how can I find – I actually listened to a podcast on this, how joy it's – I don't want to say, like, better or worse, but, like, it's it's whatever. It's better to be in joy versus happiness, because happiness can be fleeting, where joy can be expansive and last longer in a sense. And ever since I listened to that, and then also just my own work around trying to be present when I feel joy is, how can I make anything I do joyful and, like, really enjoying what I'm doing, no matter, like, whatever it is. So that's been my journey with it lately. Like, even if I'm, like, tired and I'm cooking dinner, I'm like, okay, how can I make this more joyful? Like, putting on music I like, or a podcast I want to listen to. Or if I'm home by myself for the evening, how can I, like, make my experience at home more joyful? Like, putting one of these things I love doing right now is going on YouTube, and they have these different, like, videos of, like, a scene, but then it has a crackling fireplace. You can get, like, a ton of different ones. Like, some of them are, like, in the mountain snowing or whatever. So, like, how can you find joy in whatever it is you are doing?
Yeah.
Do you find that you often will look for something outside of yourself to help bring joy in?
I think most recently I've started to tune into when I feel the joy just innately, mm-hmm. and starting to become present with that. And then figuring out, okay, what are the things in my life that I'm just being or doing and that brings me joy?
Okay.
But I do think, yeah, obviously, I think there are times, though, that if I'm not feeling so, you know, if I'm feeling in, like, the low vibes, maybe, like, I will seek something to bring me joy.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel pressure to feel joy? Yeah, Megan's shaking her head.
I know.
It's funny you say that. I feel more pressure for, like, happiness. I wouldn't say joy, because I feel like, so I grew up in a household that had conditioning where it was like, be happy, like, yeah. Negating, like, the sad or upset or maybe, like, depressive feelings. So it's like, be happy. But I think when I really tune into, like, my authentic self, I think, like, I'm a very joyful person. Yeah. That's just how I – especially if I feel like I've slept well and I wake up and I'm just feeling, like, really jazzed to be living life that day, which hopefully is more days than not. I feel like I am more innately joyful.
Yeah.
What about you, Alyssa? Do you feel pressure to feel joy?
I think I do. Yeah. Like, I want it. I don't know if it's desire more than pressure, but it's like I can't, like, before I feel like I lived life sleeping for a little bit and was like, was this it?
Yeah.
Is this it? Like, is this what life is?
Yeah.
Like, and then sort of like I woke up and now it's like, okay, I have so much drive.
Yeah.
To make life the best it can possibly be.
I wonder if a big takeaway from all of this is the concept that with a defined route, we're more likely to feel pressure to accomplish the gates that we have, especially in general, whereas with an undefined, you're kind of more open to allowing something to come in and invoke that energy in you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not consistent.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you were kind of saying before that it is a pressure center. And if you have an undefined, the pressure then moves up to the next center, and I feel more pressure
right
in my sacral center than I would in my root center. And my root center is just kind of hanging out, and I feel
hanging low,
yep. Chilling, and it feels more fluid than what a defined center would be. Right, it feels more like the energy moves through me very easily. And I pick up on joy, you know, very, very mm-hmm. easily because I do have that gate to find. And I also pick up on the fighter, which sometimes manifests poorly for me. I'm a feisty being.
And I have a question. When you do like stumble upon joy, right? Where you find joy and is it almost like a surprise?
No, I wouldn't
say
it
depends on what it is.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a surprise. I feel like there is an innate everything is joyful. And when I'm cognizant of the fact that there is joy, it's like, oh yeah, everything is joyful. So it's less of a surprise and more of just a reminder. Like, yes, things are joyful. You can enjoy all kinds of weird things. Mini golf and skiing included.
Yeah, I feel like it's less of a surprise and more of like an awareness now. You're like, oh, that brings me joy. That's nice.
That's nice. Yeah. I could agree with that.
That's so interesting because that's not at all how I experience joy.
Like, I almost equate it to, like, when I eat something really delicious and I'm like, most recently I discovered there's this French dessert called profiterole. It's like these little mm-hmm. baked pastries with ice cream and they pour chocolate over it. And when I eat that, I'm like, oh my gosh, life is good, man. This is joy. I mean, it's also the sugar, but.
Yes.
That's so great. Yeah, There are literally times when I will be able to eat a food that I know is delicious and will like forget to taste it. Like, I feel like I have so much control over my own experience of joy that if I am not actively deciding we're going to enjoy this experience, I'm not going to enjoy the experience. Like, I could be eating my absolute favorite food, and if I am not paying attention to what it tastes like, I'm not going to enjoy it at all. It's almost like I have so much power over my own joy.
Do you get the same thing with experiences?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, I've been trying to, you know, like find what activities bring me joy kind of thing, you know, and like it's a dead end road because painting a picture is going to bring me joy one day and then, you know, or it'll bring me joy for like a few minutes. And then I'll get caught on like the nitty gritty of, oh, well, I'm supposed to make this thing look like this. And then I get caught in the perfection and, you know, or I get caught in, well, what does this mean? Like, I just painted this whole thing. And like, what does this mean about my psyche? And like, I enjoyed painting for like a minute. And then I fell into all of these other things that it brought up for me. Whereas like, yeah.
Interesting.
I actually have a question then. Can you then maybe start to tune in when you feel the joy inside of you and like what you're doing, or maybe it doesn't have to be more like physical, like in your body, like maybe dancing or something like that?
You know, one of the big things I've been finding is that when I use my body physically, mm-hmm. it's much easier for me to feel joyful when I'm dancing, when I'm singing, when I am, you know, doing yoga, even like being able to move my body. And I think it's, you know, again, people with undefined roots are much more likely to need mm-hmm. to move through, whereas with a defined root, movement is very mindful for mm-hmm. me. Like, it's very specific. I've chosen to move. And yeah.
And when you are in your low expression of your root energy, doing exercise is a great way to clear out the stuck energy too.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. 100%.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining and staying. This is a wonderful conversation and I cannot wait to listen back and hear all the wonderful things you guys said. So Alyssa, Jess, thank you both so much for hopping on and talking about your root centers with us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for being part of this.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Like, this has been so nice and insightful.
Yeah.
Especially with my undefined root center friends.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah. I feel like I've gotten to know the defined root.
I know. I feel like I got a
lot. Yeah, I know. I feel like I understand undefined roots much better now. And to our listeners, I hope that this was insightful for you as well. And if you are feeling like you want to dive into this, Alyssa is also a human design reader. You can contact either her or me. We'd love to dive in with you. And also, if you want to be on the podcast and you want to be involved in a panel like this, we're going to be doing a lot more panels like this. So we want to start getting more faces, more new people on the podcast. So reach out and let us know.
Thanks, guys. If you like what you heard on this podcast, follow us on Instagram at Human Design in Real Time to keep up with our next episodes.
And if you want to learn more about your own human design, I'd love to help you on your journey. You can head to my website, kayla-care.com, to book an introductory human design session, where we'll dive into the person you were born to be. That's kayla-care.com.
We're always looking for awesome humans to be guests on the podcast. So if you'd like to be interviewed, send us an email at humandesigninrealtime@gmail.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Kayla Care. A big thank you to our amazing producer, sound mixer, designer, and editor, Sabrina Mason. Thank you to the composers of our theme song, Niall Spaulding and Sabrina Mason. Thank you to today's guests for being open and present with us.
And thanks to you, our listeners, for supporting this podcast. Keep discovering your
human design in real time.